It sure is great to see you all this morning. I am so thankful we have this opportunity to be here together. I'm so thankful we've had this opportunity to not only sing these praises to God, but to go to our Father in prayer, to be able to gather around as a congregation and partake of the Lord's Supper together. Appreciate all those who have led to this point in our worship. At this point in time, it is now our opportunity to open up God's Word, to challenge ourselves, to remind ourselves of who God is, to remind ourselves of how powerful God is, to remind ourselves that our God is an awesome God. Last week, we started this series of lessons. This morning, we sang about it. What we're talking about this year is moving forward. If we're going to move forward in our lives spiritually, we've got to be moving towards the one who is supreme. We want to be moving towards the one who is King of all kings, Lord of all lords. That is what our theme is for the year. And so as we enter and continue in this series of lessons about our awesome God, based on the book of Ephesians, I want to remind us today that our God is awesome because He reigns supreme. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Ephesians 1. Just a moment ago, my buddy Eli came up here and he read from 19 through 21, and might I mention he read very well from 19 through 21. And I just want to brag on him just a minute because Eli is my buddy and he likes to really practice and be prepared. Today he went on the fly and he filled in for somebody and you did a great job, buddy, and I appreciate your courage for that. But in Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to read the context of the whole thing beginning in verse 15. So join me as we read together 15 through 23, Ephesians 1, please. Therefore I also, again Paul's writing, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's who we're talking about, right? The same God that we worship is the same God of Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He, that is God, put all things under His, that's Jesus' feet, and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, and fullness of Him who fills all in all. What happens when somebody falls away? What happens when somebody who is on fire for God, who proclaims our God, and we sing it, and we live it, and we pray it, and we talk it, our God is an awesome God. And they're doing that, and they're striving to be exactly who God wants them to be, and then one day, maybe it just happens, maybe it's they miss, maybe they miss again, and then all of a sudden they're just not part of God's fellowship anymore. What happens? Oftentimes, again, there are a lot of things that could happen, but oftentimes what the gist of it is, or what the sum of it is in a nutshell, is that they have forgotten the awesome power of God. They have forgotten who God really is. So what are we doing today? Well, we're trying to fire each other up. We're trying to encourage each other. My responsibility is to challenge us, to encourage us, to help us never forget who God is. This God, the Creator of all, Yahweh, Jehovah, the I Am, He then became flesh. His Son, Jesus Christ, dwelt among us. And He was tempted in all points as we are. He went to a criminal's death for us. He took our place. He died that cruel death on the cross. He was buried and resurrected Himself from the grave. God resurrected God. And because of that, God the Son rose to heaven. And He sat down at the right hand of the Father. And the Father then gave all dominion and everything that we know today, and He put it under His power, under His command, even the church. And so today, as we gather to worship and we gather to praise God and we sing how awesome He is, and we sing these other songs of praise, and we remind ourselves how great Jesus was, even turning water to wine, and we remind ourselves of how pure that wine was and how pure His blood is that Jason did earlier. We read from God's Word, we pray these prayers, and we're here not to get checked off, but to recognize the awesome power of our Almighty God. Once we remind ourselves of that, my prayer is that we will never forget. If you go back and you think about what happened in the book of Job, in Job chapter 38, we won't read, but you might want to go back and study. You'll recall there that Job has really fallen on some hard times. Job went from a man who had just about anything a person could want in that day, to a man who was filled with sorrow, filled with sadness, filled with loss. He had lost his children. He had lost his livelihood. He had lost his health. He had a wife who was encouraging him. Job just cursed God and died. Then along the way, he had some friends come, and those friends didn't offer a whole lot of encouragement. In fact, they're like, Job, just repent of what you've done, man. Repent of what you've done, and whatever, God's punishing you. You got to get right. Job never cursed God. But there were moments when he questioned being born. He was depressed. He was down. He was wondering why. Then all of a sudden God speaks. You know what He reminded Job in Job 38? The same thing He should be reminding us today as well. That it was God who laid the foundations of the world. It was God who measured it out precisely the size it should be. It was God who fastened the foundations of the world. It was God who set the oceans. It was God who limited the waves. It was God who set the cornerstone. We must not forget that God is Yahweh. He is the I Am. But what happens sometimes? We catch ourselves wanting to move forward, wanting to praise God, but then we slip away. We fall away. What happens? Well, a lot of times we've just put Him in a box. We put God in a box. I want you to know that it is impossible to put our God in a box. But sometimes we live that way. Like God has limits. Well, there's only so much God will do. There's only so much God will do for me. There's only so much God can do. Folks, that mindset we've got to get out of. If we're going to be what God wants us to be, where we recognize Him as our awesome God, His awesome power, His Son's awesome reign, then we've got to get God out of the box. Think about it this way. It didn't just start with us, though. It didn't just start with us understanding or thinking that God had limits. You remember Moses at the burning bush when God reminded him that you tell Pharaoh that the I Am. This is no ordinary God. This is no little God. This is no carved God. This is no made God. This is the I Am. That's Jehovah, that's Yahweh. But even all of that, here's how it's recorded. Read with me now, Exodus 3, verses 4 through 10. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, this is Moses at the burning bush, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I have certainly heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So, everything sounds great, right? Everything sounds like it's going to be super, that it was going to be just this wonderful scene. But you recall what happens. Look at the first encounter with Pharaoh, Exodus 5, 1 and 2. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, Thus says the Lord God of Israel, Let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go. I shared this a few Wednesday nights ago and referenced it last week. Once he convinced Moses, right? Moses had some doubts himself, but once he convinced Moses, Moses gets enough nerve, he and Aaron, and they go before Pharaoh. Well, instead of him just going in there saying, Hey, the I Am said, let the people go, and Pharaoh letting them go, Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord? You know, it's a sarcastic question, maybe. Maybe it's an arrogant question, that because Pharaoh, I believe, thought he was a god, and others certainly thought he was a god because he had all this power. They had all these other gods. But I think it's a fair question. It's a question that a lot of people ask when times are tough. They ask, Who is God? Where is God? You know, to Job's credit, he never asked, Who is God? But maybe he wondered where he was. Maybe he wondered why. Maybe he wondered a lot of things. And sometimes when we get our minds to wandering, that's when we put God in that box. You see, when we think God isn't going to do this, or God can't do this, or God, we go back to maybe asking the question, Who are you, Lord? Are you this Almighty that did all these things, or are you the one that I have in my little bitty box? Well, I want you to remember today, He's Yahweh. He's Jehovah. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Mighty God. He's wonderful. He's Counselor. He's Holy One. He's Lamb of God. He's Prince of Life. He's Lord God Almighty. He's Lion of the Tribe of Judah. He is the Root of David, the Word of Life, the Author and Finisher of our faith. He's our Advocate. He's the Way. He is the Dayspring. He is the Lord of all. He is the I Am. He is the Shepherd and Bishop of souls. He is the Messiah. He is the Truth. He is the Savior. He is the Chief Cornerstone. He is the King of Kings. He is the Righteous Judge. He is the Light of the World. He is the Head of the Church. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is Lord. So we can't put Him in a box. So if you want to always remember how awesome God is, let Him free today. Let Him reign in your lives. How do we do that? There's some things we got to do to recognize how awesome our God is. The first thing we've got to remember is that our awesome God reigns with power. In Psalm 47, the psalmist penned these words, "Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great King over all the earth. He will subdue the peoples under us and the nations under our feet. He will choose our inheritance for us, the excellence of Jacob whom He loves. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. So sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. God reigns over the nations. God sits on His holy throne. The princes of the people have gathered together, the people of the God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted." The psalmist knew how much God reigned with power. Certainly we must know how much God reigns with power. In the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 15 through 18, it reads like this. "Who is God? Who is this Lord? He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence." All things. All things. Okay, let's think about it for a moment. Think of something right now in your mind that you know is of value, that is of worth, is of good. God created it. He created, you might say, well, the love of money can be evil, but money can be good. God didn't create money. Well, He created gold. I mean, we created rubies. He created diamonds. All these things we could trace back to the great I Am. All things were created, listen to this, for Him. For Him. But there are a lot of times we live if all things were created for us. You know what happens when I live my life? Well, that was because of me, or that was made for me, or that was created for me. I put God in a box. Because now I've limited Him. Now I've told Him, I'm going to carry you when I want to carry you. I'm going to put you down when I want to put you down. I'm going to get you out when I want to get you out. See, that's not who God is, but that's how we treat God. All things were created for Him. But we act like, from time to time, all things were created for us. So this means we should ask a question right now. Who is reigning in your life? Who is reigning in my life? Is it God, or is it me, or is it you? Who is on our throne? You see, it's not about us. This life is not about you. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's about the all-powerful, almighty God. You see, God spoke into existence. Existence. Think about that. God spoke into existence. Existence itself. In 6 days, He spoke everything we can think of in existence in 6 days. That reminds me that our God is all powerful. There is nothing that God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. The kids sing it, but we better live it. With God, all things are possible. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who gives me strength. So today, you want to recognize the awesome power of God? Get Him out of the box. Let Him reign in your life. Let Him reign supreme. Don't hold back. Let the God of all existence, the God of all power, set you free. Secondly, this morning, I need to remind myself that our God reigns not only powerfully, but perfectly. You know what God is? He is set apart. God is set apart from us. You know why? Because He is holy. We can't even fathom how holy and how different God is. You know, I've used this illustration plenty of times, but I still think it's very appropriate. You know, I think about water differently. I really do now. Since we've done the Walk for Water stuff, you know, I used to kind of turn my head away at tap water, and, you know, I gotten to that point, but now I'm so thankful to have that tap water or whatever. I don't know, I just see water differently. But let's face it, we are in a nation where we have plenty of clean water, and we do it at our house too, so I'm not judging anybody, but we buy a bottle of water. Okay? Still think it's one of the greatest marketing schemes of all time, but let's just say, whatever brand you're drinking today, I mean, it could be the one with all the alkalinity, it could be the one with all the smartness in it, it could be whatever kind you have, okay? And it says 100% pure water. Okay? I'm drinking a big old bottle of pure water. So I crack the lid off of it, and I can't even see the dust that's in this room. I can't even see the molecules or particles or whatever it may be. And some fly in that water. I have no idea if it does or not. But before I take that drink, suppose dust has flown in that water. Well, guess what? It is not that 100% pure water anymore. I've allowed impurities to get in it, even though I didn't see it or whatever. You see, God, there's no impurities. You can drink as much God as you want to, and there is nothing impure about God. No dust particles, no blemishes, no spots, no specks, no anything. In fact, Isaiah chapter 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I, Isaiah, saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of His robe filled the temple. See this scene now in your heads. Above it, above the throne now, stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. Two He covered His face, two He covered His feet, and with two He flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." I've mentioned this many times over the years, but in the Hebrew language, if you mentioned it three times in a row, it was the superlative. So when that seraphim, those seraphim that were above the throne, covering their eyes, covering their feet, and flying, were chanting in unison, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty," that meant there is nothing more holy than our God. It was the superlative. We are imperfect. We sinners. We, if we haven't been released of the bond, are in bondage to Satan, our master. God is perfect. God is holy. God is love. But you know what He did? He looked down on all this imperfection And he said, I still want to reign over them. So he took more perfection and he sent him to this earth. Out of the love, out of the holiness, out of the perfection of God's being, he loved us so much that he sent his Son to make us perfect again. The God who made it all is the one who wants you saved. He's the God who wants to reign in all of our lives. Finally, this morning, we need to remember that God's reign is permanently. God has always reigned. He reigned before the earth. He reigned before the universe. He reigned before the angels. God reigns outside of time itself. Since we exist inside of time, it is impossible for us to fully grasp the fact that God is eternal. I can't grasp it. You can't either. You can make your head hurt. There are a lot of illustrations I've heard. There's a lot of things I've heard to make it sound how long and how everlasting eternity is. But see, God has always been. He is the I Am. He's the one that existed before anything existed. He has no beginning. He has no end. We know beginnings. We know end. We know time. Think of it this way. If our mind were the volume of a Coke can, what is that? 12 ounces, right? If our minds were likened to the volume that a Coke can, 12 ounces, could hold, well, God's mind is the oceans of this world. It'd be foolish to think that we can fill our cans with God's mind and think we've got it all figured out. You see, we can't figure out everything about God. He's majestic. There's just things we can't grasp. We, by faith, accept and hold on to. But here's what we do know. I don't know everything about Him, but He knows everything about me. He knows our needs. He knows our wants. He knows our struggles. He knows our sins. And best of all, He knows just what we need. And this same God, who is so powerful, who is so perfect, who is so permanent, He wants to reign in each of us today. As we close, as we remind ourselves what Paul said in Ephesians 1 of how mighty and powerful Christ is, how mighty and powerful God is, we remind ourselves that the same God who is holy and eternal, the same God who made the billions of stars and billions of galaxies, He is the same God that knows the number of hairs on our head. He is the same God that wants a relationship with us. He is the same God that is not willing that any should perish. He is the same God that provided a way out through His Son's blood, which we contact through the waters of baptism. He is the same God that is calling us home to reign in our lives. Don't leave Him waiting. Get Him out of the box. Get Him into your lives and do it right now as together we stand and sing.